Blog Talk Radio.
Don't you let nothing know.
Welcome in, everybody. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Hold on, turn me something on. In any way, shape, or form. And what is going on with that? Are we good? Yeah, we're good. We're good. All right. Anyway, good morning, everybody. You're truly the host of the fastest 60 minutes in sports. In with you on a special occasion. First of all, happy Friday to everybody that can hear me. I see a couple of thousand people, clicking in to want to know what is Vinny up to, and why would he pick a Friday of all days when it's the holiday season. Look, it's stressful for a lot of people for a lot of different reasons this time of year. And if anyone can bring some giggles in your life, put a smile on your face, hopefully it makes the day that much better, takes the edge off whatever's going on in your world. So from all the way up into the far western northern portions of the United States and Alaska to all across the great nation of Canada to certainly what we believe to be the greatest nation in the world, the United States, all the way around this world to our friends in Russia, in the Ukraine, love you guys, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. But for the next hour and 50 minutes, we're going to do something really, really different. Now, what does Uncle Fuzzy mean by that? And yes, that is a nickname that was given to me by my godkids, Uncle Fuzzy, and I relish that, and I'm telling you right now, this is going to be a lot of fun today. So I have come up with this list of the top 10 comedians of my generation. Now, this is a subjective list. It's not etched in stone. It's not written in some poll in any shape or form. But there are some absolutely phenomenal comedians that were part of my lifetime and certainly a part of yours. Even some of the young studs like Kevin Hart, which are the hot guys now. There's going to be someone who's not going to agree with this list, and that's fine. It's a subjective list. The key today is not to focus on the list, but to focus on putting a smile on your face, getting through your workday, getting through your day. Enjoy it. It's the holiday season, and for the first time this holiday season, I want to say last night, I felt an inkling of the spirit of the holidays. Last night was the first time. Amid everything that's gone on in my personal world, amid everything that's gone on in my professional world, I am excited to be with you this Friday morning to share some fun stuff. That's really it. So happy holidays to everybody under the sound of my voice. To those of you who know about some of the ups and downs of this 2013 year, there's some special children out there that I hope get to hear this. I want to wish Nicole, Lil Rod, and Shania the happiest of holidays. We're doing everything we can as a village in this community to uplift and pray, support, and make sure that these holiday seasons are special for literally all of you in some capacity. So that said, I must say there are some things here that are going to be considered honorable mention. And let's talk about some of the greats that are part of this today. Many of you, and it might have been, for some of you, you might say it was before your time, but how many of you remember the great Rodney Dangerfield? You know the names of the current names. You know the Cat Williams. You know, maybe you know Gabriel Iglesias. He's incredibly talented, incredibly funny young man. Some of the new guys out, Tosh.0, his stand-up is strong. You know Russell Peters and guys like this, they're out right now. Well, some of those guys did not make this list, and a lot of it is because I'd like to say it's of my generation, but it's really, I guess I got to caveat that because the talent that's out now that I get to enjoy is still considered my generation. So we try to cover the gamut, and I put it to some votes and got some feedback from some members of the team, and thought to myself, okay, so rather than make it the top 10 list of Vinny's top 10, let's just make it subjective to these are 10 guys today. And we'll do some more because there's so many great talents that maybe moved away from stand-up. Maybe they were in stand-up. They moved away from it. And I'll give you a prime example. Jamie Foxx was a great stand-up comedian. A lot of people only know Jamie Foxx from the movies and the music. They forget that he was a great stand-up performer. Steve Martin, same thing. Great stand-up performer. Also, obviously, in the movies and doing a lot of television. So there's a lot that we can do. And if you have so much of an inkling, feel free to hit us up on Facebook, respond to the invitations you've got, hit me up on Twitter, hit me up in Blog Talk Radio. There is a chat session that's live and open, so if you've got feedback or if you want to just talk about your experiences with some of the greatest comedians that ever lived, give me a call at 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. Transcendent. Now, this happened to me a little while ago before we get into some of the fun stuff here. I was in Calgary, Alberta, and I was doing some consulting work, and I went to this the O, I think it's called. Anyway, it's a black hole. That's not black hole. Anyway, there was this comic spot, and just talking to people there, they told me that Tracy Morgan had come through there, and I don't know why it struck me, but why Tracy Morgan would have come to Canada. And the feedback from the people there was that it was a little bit edgy, a little too harsh, and a lot of people in Canada, much more conservative across the board, didn't just quite get him. A few people did, but not a lot. But right behind Tracy Morgan was Damon Wayans. Damon Wayans coming to Calgary. I mean, I'm sorry, I got excited about that. Now, there is again, the list is always subjective. I will tell you right now, there is no Tracy Morgan and there is no Damon Wayans, unless over the next hour we're able to pull some. But we have what I call honorable mention, okay? And honorable mention are guys that might have wound up on your list, all right, for whatever reason, and I just want to give those guys some respect, all right? So rather than start off with 10, let's start off with some honorable mention guys. How about that? And as I'm looking down this wonderful list of talents, I don't know that it really matters. You know, it's one of those things. I love Rodney Dangerfield. Rodney Dangerfield to me was one of the best one-liners you could ever just catch, whether he was in movies, his stand-up, the Vegas run he had, amazing. Guys like George Wallace are in the same vein. Just amazing talents. Not shy about who they are, what they brought to the table. And they did all that for our entertainment. Of course, they were very successful financially as well. Obviously, they got paid for their talents. But just amazing, amazing talents. And we're going to put all that on display for you this morning. Let's see. Tell you what. Let's go with All right, I'll tell you what. We're going to start with a clip from Jamie Foxx. Jamie Foxx makes my top 10, and again, that's one of his favorite things he ever did was his Oakland stand-up performance out in California. This was my number 8.
Relationships, do you love them or do you hate them? I hate them. Hate relationships. Don't you hate it, fellas, when you get involved with somebody and then you trip? You fall in love with what you don't anticipate doing? And you ever get jealous? Don't jealousy make you do some silly shit? You ever get jealous and the person ain't even with you? You just see somebody that you think she might like? You be like, look at this motherfucker working out, looking all good. What's up, Jamie? Fuck you, man. Don't be looking at my girl either. Your girl ain't with you. She with me in spirit. Or you ever just have a relationship where you just get tired of each other? It's the same old thing. You're like, damn, I can't figure out what's going on with him. I can't figure out what's going on with her. And you're just arguing. That's when you can't even pronounce it. You just arguing. I say it's black. You say it's white. You say it's red. I say it's blue. We just don't get along. And then sometimes they just walk in and you just... You just want to say, fuck you. Oh, fuck you, fuck you. Fuck you, fuck you. Fuck you, fuck you. That's how Bilal would do it. Fuck you. Hallelujah. That's a church out there. Oh, yeah. Oh. You ever hear that dude with that voice? Oh, glory. Sound like he broke 2 ribs. That's the offering right there. Am I right? They always put... Y'all reached in y'all pocket when I did it, didn't you? And they come right out of preaching. That's how they get you to give. They come right out of preaching and go right into that. God is good. God is great. Ah! Reach in your pocket to give me all your money, please. I love you too. Thing about it is, like, my grandmother raised me in church. That's why I know I'm gonna be all right. And I got some people from my hometown right in here tonight from Terrell, Texas. They keep me grounded. That's what these people need. When I was talking all that stuff, they don't have nobody in their family or somebody to just, you know, tell them what they need to do. I got somebody. Yeah, man. My grandmother's 94 years old.
Keep on living, keep on living.
But the thing about it, when I had, you know, people over at the house, like girls and stuff, I couldn't sing no worldly songs. They had to be spiritual. Or it had to be off of TV. So what I would do is I had a girl over, I would switch it up, take a song off of TV and make it sound good enough to make love to. Even if the song was, here's a story. Of a lovely lady, oh, oh, who was bringing up three very lovely girls. All of them had hair of gold, like the mother. The youngest one in color. Yeah, 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 yeah. Till the one day when the lady met this fellow. How you doing? How you doing? And they knew they were much more than a house. Well, it's true, it must somehow form a family. I hate playing. That's the way we all became the Brady Bunch. Break it down like Babyface. Because you know Babyface, you break it down like, that's the way the wheel became the pretty bird. And I love the big bunch of babies, big bunch of feet. Don't lift the big baby, don't lift the big bird, don't lift the big bird. Or you could break it down like Luther, okay. Because, you know, Luther break it down like, Brady Bunch, I say. Brady Bunch, it's driving me crazy to think that Miss Brady. Or what if it was Prince? Because, you know, Prince would break it down like,
that is the great Jamie Foxx coming in at number 8. Now check this out. We're going to start. We started off with number 8 instead of number 10, just because this list is subjective, and because of that subjective nature, you are entitled to have your perspective. And even as I sit here and think, there are so many great comedians that have either come and gone as part of my 51 years on this planet. And I know I couldn't get them all, but I promise you, for those of you Wayans Brothers fan with Damon and Keenan Ivory, if they don't make today's list, you know, we'll do it again, and we'll have a whole different set. I will tell you this, though. There's some comedians out here, even now, Tosh.0 and some of the other guys, that they just seem to understand. They just seem to get it when it comes to understanding people. Not saying it's right or wrong. They're just who they are, and you love the confidence that they bring to the table. And let's face it, in today's world where there's so many catastrophes and challenges and disasters, and whether it's the natural disaster of a tsunami, the natural disaster of major snowstorms or flooding, to the catastrophes in your personal lives, whether it's loss of family members, loss of loved ones, people that are your extended parts of your family, whatever it may be, life is challenging. As much as we sometimes say, you know, life is short, across the board, you know, I heard a comedian once say life is long, and sometimes it can be hard. If you can find yourself a smile and a giggle, especially on a day like today, it's the holiday season, malls are crowded, people are out there spending the last of their discretionary money doing it is what they do, and you know you're going to be the first one they're going to ask to borrow money from anyway, so you might as well just get your head right around that situation. Find a smile, all right? If you're around family and loved ones, find something to giggle about. And if we can put a smile on your face today, well, that's all we're here to do. Now, a couple of years ago, one of our friends and one of the funniest guys I know is Gabriel Iglesias, who, of course, is on Comedy Central. He comes in at number 10. We're not doing this in any particular order this week. Nonetheless, here is a clip from his Hot and Fluffy Get Your Giggle On with Gabriel Iglesias.
Before I go, I just got one more good story to tell you. I took a road trip about a year ago after I got rid of the Beetle in the SUV. Took a road trip from L.A. to Phoenix to go perform at this club. Let me tell you who's in the car. I'm driving. I got my buddy Armando riding shotgun. He's another fluffy guy. We call him Sexy Bitch. Well, I don't call him that. His wife calls him that. He's a sexy bitch. Anyway, in the back seat, I got my friend Martin. Next to him is my friend Felipe. So we take off. We're on the 10 freeway. We're passing all these Indian casinos. Sorry, we're stupid like that. Anyway, all of a sudden, all these cars start passing me, right? I'm getting annoyed because I'm driving a... I said, next car that tries to pass me, I'm not going to let him. So I'm looking in the rearview mirror, waiting, looking, waiting, waiting, and I see a silver dot. The silver dot turned out to be a little car with two hoochies in it, right? Some of you guys are going, how do you know they're hoochies? Because my friend Martin was in the back seat going, I feel a disturbance in the force. They tried to go around, and I cut them off. I'm having fun. They're back there. Whatever. My friend Felipe is in the back seat yelling at me. Oh, what are you doing? I go, dude, don't worry. I'm having fun. Gary, you're going to get pulled over. Dude, I'm okay. It's cool. We're arguing, going back and forth. I'm not paying attention. I don't see a California Highway Patrol officer creeping up on us. All of a sudden, I hear, I look at the speedometer, 102. Oh, I freaked out. The little car that was behind me with the two hoochies, they got pulled over because they were going just as fast. You know. I'm in the front seat of my car freaking out. Oh, my God. I'm on the verge of tears. From the back seat, I hear my friend Felipe, fool, what are you crying for? What are you crying for, fool? You're not the one with weed in his pocket, are you? You have drugs in the car? I told you to slow down, didn't I? But no, Pikachu knows everything. Shoot, everybody roll down your window. I heard the car. Mondo, fart. Do something, man. The cop walks over the window, looks in, sees my face, recognizes me from TV, right? He's like, hey, I know you. You're a comedian. Yeah, you're that guy from Comedy Central. You're the guy that does that joke about his friend at a hotel, and you crank call him, and you call him a dirty Mexican, and then you go, but it was funny, huh? Oh, I love that joke. That one, and when you go, chocolate cake, oh, I love that joke. I hate to do this to you, but we got two cars involved. I need your license and registration. Okay, here you go. Here you go. So he takes my info, goes back to the car with the two girls in it, right? The whole time he's back there, I tell everybody in the car, check it out. He just recognized me from TV. Maybe if we have some fun with him, crack some jokes, maybe he won't take the car. I don't care if I get a ticket, but as long as he doesn't take the car. Mando, be silly, crack a joke. Martin, be funny. Felipe, what, fool? Shut the hell up. So the cop comes back to the car. What the hell were you doing out there? Before I could think of something funny to say, from the back seat I hear, fool, he was testing the suspension. Oh my God, this pothead's gonna get me arrested. Officer, I'm sorry, that's my friend Felipe. That's the guy from the special. That's the guy who says, but it was funny, huh? He's just trying to get me in trouble. I'm really sorry. Whatever. So he goes back to his squad car with my driver's license, and he's swiping it in a computer. The whole time he's doing that, he's being yelled at from the back seat of my car. Hey, officer, thank God you have a computer. Last week we got stopped in Mexico. That fool had a Rolodex. The cops are dying. I go, oh, we got him going. We got him going. I tell my buddy Mondo, give me my CD. I take out my Bad Boys 2 soundtrack, and I pop it in. Track 3 is the theme song to Cops. I tell my friend Felipe, tell him when the cop starts walking. Okay, whoa, here he comes. I crank that song as loud as I could. Bad Boys, what you gone? What you gone? What you gonna do? Best part, now the cop is walking to the beat. Even better than that, the two hoochies in the car can hear the music and they're freaking out. They're like, oh my God, we're going to be on TV. The cop goes to the girls, gives them a ticket, lets them go. Looks at our car, and at this point, we're like halfway through the song, right? We're like, hey, police, no, give it no break. I don't soldier, got our arms out the window like a bunch of idiots. The cop is in the middle of the freeway dying. He walks over to the window, and he's like, shut it off! Yes, sir. Hands me my license and the registration, and he tells me, Gabriel, I want you to do me a big favor. I want you to keep this tank under 100. You think you can do that? Do that for me. Keep on doing what you do, and you have yourself a nice day. Whoa, 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 whoa. That's it? No ticket? No ticket. I don't know what possessed me to look at this man and go, why? How come the girl's got a ticket? And he tells me the coolest thing. He says, because they couldn't make me laugh. You don't understand, Gabriel. I've been on the force now for 26 years. This is hands down the funniest damn traffic stop I've ever been a part of. Do you have any idea how hard it is to give two sluts a ticket while listening to Cops? I damn near pissed myself. I was laughing so hard. This is going in the books as one of the funniest things that ever happened to a police officer. I swear to God. The only story better than this one is a buddy of mine pulled over some fat guy that gave him donuts. So he starts walking away, right? And just as I'm about to start the car. So does that mean I can keep my weed? I turn around and yell at my friend. Too late, the cop is at the window. You want to run that by me again, son? You heard what I said, fool. Oh, you think this is a big joke, don't you? You think that just because I gave your buddy here a break, I know who he is, I like what he does. I don't know you, I don't like you. step out of the car. I turn around and my friend Felipe is like, "Ooh, I am so scared." And the cop pulls out his gun. I'm freaking out. I'm like, "Oh my God." Backseat, my friend Felipe. "Ooh, ooh, I am so scared. Ooh, he's good. He is good." Then he points it at him. The look on my friend Felipe's face. Priceless. "Are you serious? Are you serious? I'm going to go to jail. I'm going to go to jail." The cop was like, "Nah." But that was funny, huh? I love you, Bakersfield. Thank you.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. The great Gabriel Iglesias, his success from Comedy Central continues. Hot and Fluffy, I think, was his first video. Shot in Bakersfield, just amazing, amazingly good stuff. All right, so let's see. Gabriel comes in at number 10. Number 9 is a bit of a throwback, but for those of you who remember what it was to be sitting at home when someone came on TV and told you there were 7 words you just can't use in out of the English language, that was just crazy. Now, I should have given you a copy. There's caveats all over the internet explaining to you that this is explicit. Well, here's the deal. None of this is censored. Absolutely none of it is censored, okay? This is as if you were there when this was said. So you're going to hear some things. I guess I should say it like this. Listener discretion advised, okay? If you're at work and you have this on your speakers and you think, "Oh, this will be kind of clean and easy to listen to and get my giggle on Friday," yeah, that's probably not a good idea, especially if you're near a supervisor or boss or in an area where political correctness may be the order of the day. This ain't what you should be listening to, okay? If you've got some headphones, throw them boys on, and then you can continue to enjoy. In the meantime, this show is rated R, which means there might be some things said that may test the limits of political correctness, all right? Just so you know that going forward, all right? About $1.25 in this one left to run. You're going to hear from the talents of guys like, well, if I give it, that'd be giving it away, wouldn't it? You're going to hear a lot of talents as we go through this thing. Anyway, 619-639-4747. 619-639-4747. If you have an opinion, perspective, call. Maybe you have a suggestion as who could be part of the next 10 comedians of your generation. Your generation certainly may be different than mine. A lot of these are just cultural. This is just how we were raised and what we were exposed to. So this is just a list that, you know, me and a few of my partners put together. And as I tell you, when you look back on the list and start to thinking about all the great talents that we've been exposed to in our generation, coming out of the latter part of the baby boom era into today, the X generation, and some people call it the lost generation. We've had the good luxury of seeing some amazing things happen in our lifetime, in our world. We've seen the first black president. We will probably, if the heaven says the same, see the first woman president. We're going to see some amazing things in life. But as we celebrate those that have molded us and helped us get through rough times by just telling us something funny, we continue on. All right. So let's throw back. Back in the 70s, our buddy George Carlin was the man. And in memory of George and everything he brought to the table, here is our spin, 9 minutes long, on George Carlin. But let me warn you, if you're in a place where political correctness is a concern, put some headphones on, go check out something else, give yourself a 9-10 minute break, go get your giggle on someplace else. All bets are off. I'm telling you right now, so you cannot say it, all bets are off. This is George.
Now I probably got some other group pissed off at me because I said fruit. There's a different group to get pissed off at you in this country for everything you're not supposed to say. Can't say fruit, can't say faggot, can't say queer, can't say Nancy boy, can't say pansy. Can't say nigger, boogie, jig, jigaboo, skinhead, jungle bunny, mooly, moulinjan, or schwarzer. Can't say yid, heeb, zeeb, kike, maki, dago, guinea, wop, ginzo, greaser, greaseball, spick, beaner, oye, tiger, PR, mick, donkey, turkey, Limey, Frog, Squarehead, Kraut, Jerry, Hun, Chink, Jack, Nip, Slope, Slopehead, Zip, Zipperhead, Scoot. There is absolutely nothing wrong. There is absolutely nothing wrong with any of those words in and of themselves. They're only words. It's the context that counts. It's the user. It's the intention behind the words that makes them good or bad. The words are completely neutral. The words are innocent. I get tired of people talking about bad words and bad language. Bullshit. It's the context that makes them good or bad. The context that makes them good or bad. For instance, you take the word nigger. There is absolutely nothing wrong with the word nigger in and of itself. It's the racist asshole who's using it that you ought to be concerned about. We don't care when Richard Pryor or Eddie Murphy say it. Why? Because we know they're not racist. They're niggers. Context. Context. We don't mind their context because we know they're black. Hey, I know I'm whitey, the blue-eyed devil, patio fade, gray boy, honky motherfucker myself. Don't bother my ass. They're only words. You can't be afraid of words that speak the truth, even if it's an unpleasant truth, like the fact that there's a bigot and a racist in every living room on every street corner in this country. I don't like words that hide the truth. I don't like words that conceal reality. I don't like euphemisms or euphemistic language. And American English is loaded with euphemisms because Americans have a lot of trouble dealing with reality. Americans have trouble facing the truth. So they invent a kind of a soft language to protect themselves from it. And it gets worse with every generation. For some reason, it just keeps getting worse. I'll give you an example of that. There's a condition in combat. Most people know about it. It's when a fighting person's nervous system has been stressed to its absolute peak and maximum, can't take any more input. The nervous system has either snapped or is about to snap. In the First World War, that condition was called shell shock. Simple, honest, direct language. Two syllables, shell shock. Almost sounds like the guns themselves. That was 70 years ago. Then a whole generation went by, and the Second World War came along, and the very same combat condition was called battle fatigue. Four syllables now. Takes a little longer to say. Doesn't seem to hurt as much. Fatigue is a nicer word than shock. Shell shock. Battle fatigue. Then we had the war in Korea, 1950. Madison Avenue was riding high by that time. And the very same combat condition was called operational exhaustion. Hey, we're up to eight syllables now. And the humanity has been squeezed completely out of the phrase. It's totally sterile now. Operational exhaustion. Sounds like something that might happen to your car. Then, of course, came the war in Vietnam, which has only been over for about 16 or 17 years. And thanks to the lies and deceit surrounding that war, I guess it's no surprise that the very same condition was called post-traumatic stress disorder. Still eight syllables, but we've added a hyphen. And the pain is completely buried under jargon. Post-traumatic stress disorder. I'll bet you if we'd have still been calling it shell shock, some of those Vietnam veterans might have gotten the attention they needed at the time. I'll bet you that. I'll bet you that. But it didn't happen. And one of the reasons is because we were using that soft language, that language that takes the life out of life. And it is a function of time. It does keep getting worse. I'll give you another example. Sometime during my life, toilet paper became bathroom tissue. I wasn't notified of this. No one asked me if I agreed with it. It just happened. Toilet paper became bathroom tissue. Sneakers became running shoes. False teeth became dental appliances. Medicine became medication. Information became directory assistance. The dump became the landfill. Car crashes became automobile accidents. Partly cloudy became partly sunny. Motels became motor lodges. House trailers became mobile homes. Used cars became previously owned transportation. Room service became guest room dining. And constipation became occasional irregularity. When I was a little kid, if I got sick, they wanted me to go to the hospital and see the doctor. Now they want me to go to a health maintenance organization or a wellness center to consult a health care delivery professional. Poor people used to live in slums. Now the economically disadvantaged occupy substandard housing in the inner cities. And they're broke. They're broke. They don't have a negative cash flow position. They're fucking broke. Because a lot of them were fired. You know, fired. Management wanted to curtail redundancies in the human resources area. So many people are no longer viable members of the workforce. Smug, greedy, well-fed white people have invented a language to conceal their sins. It's as simple as that. The CIA doesn't kill anybody anymore. They neutralize people. Or they depopulate the area. The government doesn't lie and engages in disinformation. The Pentagon actually measures nuclear radiation in something they call sunshine units. Israeli murderers are called commandos. Arab commandos are called terrorists. Contra killers are called freedom fighters. Well, if crime fighters fight crime and firefighters fight fire, what do freedom fighters fight? They never mention that part of it to us, do they? Never mention that part of it. And some of this stuff is just silly. We all know that. Like on the airlines, they say they want a pre-board. Well, what the hell is pre-board? What does that mean? To get on before you get on? They say they're going to pre-board those passengers in need of specialist assistance. Cripples! Simple, honest, direct language. There's no shame attached to the word cripple that I can find in any dictionary. No shame attached to it. In fact, it's a word used in Bible translations. Jesus healed the cripples. Doesn't take seven words to describe that condition. But we don't have any cripples in this country anymore. We have the physically challenged. Is that a grotesque enough evasion for you? How about differently abled? I've heard them call that differently abled. You can't even call these people handicapped anymore. They'll say, we're not handicapped. We're handicapable. These poor people have been bullshitted by the system into believing that if you change the name of the condition, somehow you'll change the condition. Doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. We have no more deaf people in this country. Hearing impaired. No one's blind anymore. Partially sighted or visually impaired. We have no more stupid people. Everybody has a learning disorder. Or he's minimally exceptional. How would you like to be told that about your child? He's minimally exceptional. Oh, thank God for that. Psychologists actually have started calling ugly people those with severe appearance deficits. It's getting so bad that any day now I expect to hear a rape victim referred to as an unwilling sperm recipient.
The great George Carlin on Vinnie Moore presents the top 10 comedians of my generations, I guess is what I probably should say. Anyway, good stuff. Thank you, George. Now, for those of you who might have taken offense to some of the things, let me just put this out here to you right now, okay? I said it once, I'll say it again. You have been warned, all right? This is clear, uncensored material. And let me give you a little bit of throwback info. Check this out. I was in high school. I got to high school somewhere around 1981. And, you know, I had a great run of 3 years back then when you just did your sophomore through your senior year at the Galesburg High School in Galesburg, Illinois. Kudos to Galesburg. Much love. And at this high school, I was introduced to characters like Blowfly, who basically told me that you could swear on a record and it still would sell a million copies. Then I was reminded that you had some wordsmiths like Dolomite. And I really, really challenged myself. Do I play Dolomite today? Because I got to put Dolomite in that honorable mention category. Okay, because for many comedians of color, he, along with guys like Richard Pryor, became that envelope pusher that said, we're going to say whatever the heck we want to. We're going to do whatever we want to. We're going to push the envelope to press the limits of our comic acumen, as well as just simply get a giggle on. And, again, a lot of fun. Yeah, tell you, we may actually just wrap that later on in this presentation today. Anyway, let's move on. In my latter part of these generations of my life, a young man who we've got to see kind of grow up from first time in L.A., kind of getting on stage and trying his hand at some things, all the way to starring in a movie known as one of the worst pieces of film ever known to mankind, Soul Plane. Coming in at number 7 this week, because he's young, all right, but still definitely probably the hottest comedian going today, has the new movie coming out with Stallone and De Niro, The Grudge Match, and also has a movie coming out in January with Ice Cube, The Ride Along. Here is the one and only Kevin Hart.
Understand something, people. Lying. Lying will ruin your life.
There we go.
Lying will ruin your goddamn life. Lying will ruin your life. Lying. Understand something, people. Lying will ruin your life. Lying will ruin your goddamn life. Lying ruined my marriage. True shit, sweetie. Lying ruined my goddamn marriage. That's a lie. I cheated. Let's talk about it, though. Let's figure it out. Don't judge me. Let me explain. Yes, people. I cheated. Am I ashamed of it? No. No, I'm not. Do I wish that I could take it back? No. No, I don't. Let me tell you why. You can't evolve as a man if you never make a mistake. The only way that you can be perfect is to fuck up. I get it. I fucked up. Don't cheat. Nah, whatever. Now, do I think cheating was the problem? No, I don't. Cheating was not the problem. Lying about cheating was the problem. If I had been honest about it, might have worked it out. But I wasn't. I lied. And I didn't just lie on myself. I put my best friend in my lie. Now, I don't think that's a bad thing to do. Let me explain why. If you're my best friend, I shouldn't have to ask you to lie for me. I shouldn't have to ask your permission for me to put you in my lie. You know why? Because you're my best fucking friend, bitch. That's your job. The day that we sign up and say that we best friends, that means that my bullshit is your bullshit. And your bullshit is my bullshit. If you're my real best friend, you should know that I need you to lie for me by the look on my face. If I'm looking at you and I'm not blinking, if I'm like this, that's a goddamn sign. That means the bitch got to drop on us. My back is against the wall. This is not a test. It's the real deal. Help me. Help me. Nigga. Help me. My friend Harry ignored all signs, okay? Let me tell you how shit hit the fan. I come in the house, right? I come in the house at like 4 in the morning. I'm drunk, people. Drunk as shit. I have no balance. I'm all over the place. I'm rocking back and forth. As soon as I walk in the house, she wakes up, she goes off. You know what? I'm sick of this. I know you're probably out with some bitch. You're probably messing with some bitch. Now I'm drunk. I don't want to respond because I don't have any balance. I'm rocking back and forth. You don't look believable when you're rocking back and forth. So I had to choose a stance in which I look believable. So I chose this. I said, let me tell you something. Listen to me. Wasn't nobody with no bitch. Okay, you're wrong. Matter of fact, to prove you wrong, I'm going to call Harry. Harry not expecting me to call right now, so Harry don't have no reason to lie. And I'm going to put it on speakerphone, about to make you feel stupid. Watch this. Watch how fucking stupid you feel. Watch. Watch this. Harry. Harry. Real quick. Don't lie. Let's stop right there. Let's just stop right there for a second. What does that mean? What does that mean, people? Lie. It means lie. Right now. I mean, the bitch got to drop on us. My back is against the wall. This is not a test. It's the real deal. Help me. Help me. Nigga. Help me. Harry ignored all signs. I'm telling you exactly what Harry said. I said, Harry, real quick, don't lie. Where are we coming from right now? He said, man, you was with that bitch with the fat ass.
What? Oh, no. Oh, no. No. Yo.
See, but I'm saying something. I'm not mad at Harry. The reason I'm not mad at Harry is because Harry has done some dumb shit, but I understand who he is. See, Harry might be the smartest, dumbest friend I've ever had in my life, okay? Let me tell you the dumbest thing that Harry's ever done. Harry invented a code for us to use to let each other know when we were around our women. Basically, if somebody used a code, it means don't say anything stupid. You might be on speakerphone. Don't say nothing dumb. The phone might be loud enough so my girl can hear whatever they're just saying. It means don't say anything that could jeopardize our relationship. The code was, man, I'm hungry as shit. That's code, people. Man, I'm hungry as shit. Here's what pissed me off about the code. Harry invented the fucking code. So there's no reason why Harry should have messed with the code. Here's how Harry messes it up. I'm in the car with my lady. I'm driving. She's in the passenger seat. Harry called me. I'm in the car. I got the Bluetooth shit in the car, so my phone rings, the whole car rings. Harry's name pops up on the dashboard. I answer. What up, boy? Kev, what's going on? Ain't shit. This I knew the conversation was about to take turn for the worse. This I knew it was about to get filthy. He said, nigga. Understand something, people. Lying will ruin your life. Lying will ruin your goddamn life. Lying ruined my marriage. True shit, sweetie. Lying ruined my goddamn marriage. That's a lie. I cheated. Let's talk about it, though. Let's figure it out. Don't judge me. Let me explain. Yes, people. I cheated. Am I ashamed of it? No. No, I'm not. Do I wish that I could take it back? No. No, I don't. Let me tell you why. You can't evolve as a man if you never make a mistake. The only way that you can be perfect is to fuck up. I get it. I fucked up. Don't cheat. Nah. Whatever. Now, do I think cheating was the problem? No, I don't. Cheating was not the problem. Lying about cheating was the problem. If I had been honest about it, might have worked it out. But I wasn't. I lied. And I didn't just lie on myself. I put my best friend in my lie. Now, I don't think that's a bad thing to do. Let me explain why. If you're my best friend, I shouldn't have to ask you to lie to me. I shouldn't have to ask your permission for me to put you in my lie. You know why? Because you're my best fucking friend, bitch. That's your job. The day that we sign up and say that we best friends, that means that my bullshit is your bullshit. And your bullshit is my bullshit. If you're my real best friend, you should know that I need you to lie to me by the look on my face. If I'm looking at you and I'm not blinking, if I'm like this, that's a goddamn sign. That means the bitch got to drop on us. My back is against the wall. This is not a test. It's the real deal. Help me. Help me. Nigga. Help me. My friend Harry ignored all signs, okay? Let me tell you how shit hit the fan. I come in the house, right? I come in the house at like 4 in the morning. I'm drunk, people. Drunk as shit. I have no balance. I'm all over the place. I'm rocking back and forth. As soon as I walk in the house, she wakes up. She goes off. You know what? I'm sick of this. I know you're probably out with some bitch. You're probably messing with some bitch. Now I'm drunk. I don't want to respond because I don't have any balance. I'm rocking back and forth. You don't look believable when you're rocking back and forth. So I had to choose a stance in which I look believable. So I chose this. I said, let me tell you something. Listen to me. Wasn't nobody with no bitch. Okay, you're wrong. Matter of fact, to prove you wrong, I'm gonna call Harry. Harry not expecting me to call right now, so Harry don't have no reason to lie. And I'm going to put it on speakerphone, about to make you feel stupid. Watch this. Watch how fucking stupid you feel. Watch. Watch this. Harry! Harry! Real quick, don't lie. Let's stop right there. Let's just stop right there for a second. What does that mean? What does that mean, people? Lie. It means lie right now. I mean, the bitch got the drop on us. My back is against the wall. This is not a test. It's the real deal. Help me. Help me. Nigga. Help me. Harry ignored all sides. I'm going to tell you exactly what Harry said. I said, Harry, real quick, don't lie. Where are we coming from right now? He said, man, you was with that bitch with the fat ass.
What? Oh, no. No, 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 no. Oh, no. No, 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 no.
Yo. Understand something. I'm not mad at Harry. The reason I'm not mad at Harry is because Harry has done some dumb shit, but I understand who he is. See, Harry might be the smartest, dumbest friend I've ever had in my life, okay? Let me tell you the dumbest thing that Harry's ever done. Harry invented a code for us to use to let each other know when we were around our women. Basically, if somebody used a code, it means don't say anything stupid. You might be on speakerphone. Don't say nothing dumb. The phone might be loud enough so my girl can hear whatever it is you're saying. It means don't say anything that could jeopardize our relationship. The code was, man, I'm hungry as shit. That's code, people. Man, I'm hungry as shit. Here's what pissed me off about the code. Harry invented the fucking code. So there's no reason why Harry should ever mess with the code. Here's how Harry messes it up. I'm in the car with my lady. I'm driving, she's in the passenger seat. Harry called me while I'm in the car. I got the Bluetooth shit in the car, so my phone rings, the whole car rings. Harry's name pops up on the dashboard. I answer. What up, boy? Kev, what's going on? Ain't shit. This I knew the conversation was about to take time for the worst. This I knew it was about to get filthy. He said, nigga. Harry! Hey, man, I'm hungry as shit. He said, I'm not. I just ate. What? What? Harry! Woo! Harry! Woo! Harry! I said, man, I'm hungry as shit. He said, yo, you go to Subway, get a footlong $5. What the fuck? Harry! I said, man, I'm hungry as shit. He said, oh. That must mean you ready to eat these white bitches.
What? Oh, no. No, 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 no. No, no, no. I ain't eat no white bitch. I ain't eat no white bitches. I never did. Oh, my God, no. Oh, no.
Yo, have you ever been in trouble with your girl to the point where you're afraid to look at her, but you can feel her staring at the side of your goddamn face? I was so scared I never looked at her. I just looked straight and started making dumbass noises. I started pointing out shit. Oh, look, a deer bruh. You see it? I just saw a deer bruh. I'm fucking killing y'all, man. Get fired on these kids.
The inevitable Kevin Hart. Guys, you might want to vet that one for the next time. I think we heard two or three loops in there. Nonetheless, Kevin Hart comes in at number 7. Let's run down the list. About an hour left in this ride today. Taking ourselves all the way to one of the most dynamic, kind of came on the scene. You know him, Money Mike. And, next Friday. It's the first time we saw him. Anyway, here's Inevitable, Cat Williams. Okay, what is going on?
It's like when that motherfuckers got attacked by that goddamn tiger in the goddamn zoo in San Francisco and shit, and they had it all on CNN like it was a national tragedy and shit. Just, oh, it's so sad. Well, I didn't see nothing sad at all. I laughed the whole goddamn coverage. These wasn't kids. These was grown motherfuckers. I feel like if you a grown motherfucker and you get killed, and you get killed by a tiger, and you get killed by a tiger in a zoo, and you get killed by a tiger in a zoo in San Francisco, I think God's will has been done for your life. I think that's exactly what was supposed to happen, and I think he wanted me to laugh about it a whole lot. That's what I think. Fuck that. I'm a parent. I got kids. I feel like if you raise a child at any age that's dumb enough to climb into a tiger's cage, you should tell them the rest of the goddamn story. Then the tiger eat your asshole out, baby. That's the end. That's what the fuck's supposed to happen. And these motherfucking zookeepers got on TV and started talking shit about the tigers. Started snitching on the tigers like they was disappointed in the tigers and shit. Like, we can't believe they would even do something like that. They've never done anything like that before. And if they're a danger to the community, then we'll have to get rid of them. You going to get rid of the tiger? You going to get rid of the only real motherfucker in the whole goddamn equation? You going to get rid of the tiger? First of all, white people, understand this. If you cannot understand what it's like to be a tiger in a zoo, I don't know how you ever going to understand what it's like to be a nigger in America if you can't understand what it's like to be a tiger in a zoo. Look at white people. What? Niggas are tigers now? They're great. Follow along, white people. All I'm saying is you got to look at this shit from the tiger's motherfucking viewpoint. First of all, this ain't no fake-ass got it at the mall tiger. This a real goddamn tiger, like the kind that be on National Geographic every time you turn it on the back of a wildebeest ass and shit. Just... wildebeest don't even be dead. I'm not even dead yet. I don't give a fuck, bitch. I'm hungry now. Real fucking tiger. And every day, they got this real fucking tiger in a fake-ass habitat. Real fucking tiger, fake-ass habitat. And the tiger not supposed to know as a real tiger that this is a speaker system. And every fucking day, the tiger be fucked up because he be conflicted. Everything in the tiger spirit is telling him, nigga, you a motherfucking monster, nigga. You a beast. You run the jungle, nigga. You supposed to roar and shit's supposed to happen. And every fucking day, the tiger come out and tried and the shit don't work. And some of us know how the fuck that feel to be trying shit and trying shit, trying shit and trying shit, don't work. Trying shit and trying shit, won't work. Trying shit, try, switch it up. Trying shit, won't work. That's how the fuck the tiger feels. Every goddamn day he come out with the roar and shit.
Wish me luck, wish me luck. Roar!
You see that bitch take a camera phone picture of me right in the middle of my goddamn roar? You see how they disrespect the tiger? These four tigers don't know what the fuck to do. It'd be four, five real tigers in a fake-ass habitat. What the fuck you think them tigers talk about every goddamn day? Nothing but what the fuck they would do if a motherfucker was to ever climb their goddamn foot over the goddamn gate. That's all the fuck they talk about. Just, I wish a motherfucker would climb in this goddamn cage. This cage right here, nigga. This cage right here, nigga. It's a motherfucking worse. And the tiger be fucked up. Because the tiger feel like he's supposed to be eating elephants and giraffes and shit. And every day they come feed him meat out of a bucket and shit. And all while he eating that bullshit, what he be looking at? Your good fresh meat ass walking around the zoo with a video camera and shit.
Look at that delicious ass fat bitch right there. I eat the shit. That delicious ass fat bitch right there. Fuck that. It's a baby fat right on her motherfucking ass. You know that's my favorite part. I love baby fat.
And the tiger be fucked up because he don't know what to feel. And after a while, he get depressed and down and start acting like us. You know how we get depressed and start doubting shit we shouldn't even doubt. I bet the tigers have got as low as they could possibly get. Just,
are you sure I'm a tiger?
I don't feel very much like a tiger. Maybe I'm just a vicious-ass koala bear. Did you ever investigate that? But as a real motherfucker, you can't never afford to give up. Because all real motherfuckers is only waiting on one opportunity. And that's the opportunity to show a motherfucker they ain't bullshitting. And I bet them tigers had got as low as they could possibly get. And then something wonderful happened in the tiger world. They just... Nigga, this is not a drill. Get ready, nigga. They think we bullshitting. Get... Wait for it, wait for it, more. That's what the fuck's supposed to happen. All I'm saying, you gotta enjoy your motherfucking life. That's all the fuck I'm saying. Enjoy your goddamn life. Life is fucking short. Enjoy that shit. Some of y'all just need to smoke some weed and see if it don't help the quality of your motherfucking life. I know, I see some of y'all. Look, I understand. If you ain't smoking weed because you got a good job, then by all means make your paper, boo-boo. But if you ain't got no job and you not smoking weed, I don't know what the fuck you are doing with your life. I really don't. I really don't. Don't give me that shit about it's a drug. It ain't no motherfucking drug. I done the research. It's just a plant. It just grows like that. And if you just happen to set it on fire, there are some effects. But that's not the same as drugs. Drugs, you got to do shit to it chemically. You got to add baking soda, water, stir it up. I don't know the recipe. I'm just saying. It's some shit you got to do to it. But why the fuck is it illegal? I don't know. Aspirin is perfectly legal. But if you take 13 of them motherfuckers, it'll be your last headache. Long as you've been living, you ain't never heard of a motherfucker overdose on marijuana. You might have thought that nigga was dead. He ain't dead. He gonna wake up in 30 minutes, hungry enough to eat up everything in your house. That's a side effect. Hungry, happy, sleepy. That's it. Don't testify. I'm just saying. If your life is fucked up, you need weed. Weed is put on this earth for niggas on the struggle, niggas on the grind. There is a chemical in weed that's called fucking. And if you could just get that in your system, it could change your life. Some of y'all be crying about bills you can't pay. Just, I don't know what I'm going to do about this light bill. They want the whole thing. They don't want a piece of it, a deposit. Just hit the blunt one time and see if it don't change your perception of what's important in your life. You just, I don't know what I'm going to do about this life.
Fuck them goddamn lights.
I got 12 candles. I've been waiting to burn them bitches. Had to be careful, though. Had to be careful, because weed is getting stronger every 2 weeks. And these niggas ain't sending out memos or bulletins or nothing. The shit just strong for no reason. And these niggas that sell the weed be happier than a motherfucker to tell you how much stronger this shit is than the last shit. Just soon as they see you, just niggas, 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 niggas. You remember that shit I gave you last week, nigga? It's nothing, nigga. It's nothing. It's nothing, nigga. Nigga, it's nothing. This shit right here, nigga. This shit right here, nigga. Right here. This shit, nigga. This shit here, nigga. Always have some fucked up name to strip the corner kind of like, nigga. Always have some fucked up ass name. Like, nigga, this shit here, nigga. This shit here, nigga. This shit's called death, nigga. You're like, nigga, that don't even sound attractive. What the You mean I'm gonna hit it and die, nigga? Is that what? No, nigga, not death, nigga, death. You hit this shit twice, nigga, you can't hear shit. Like, nigga, I got shit to do today. What the fuck? Your kids been calling you all day. Daddy! Fucking around with them motherfuckers. I'm used to smoking the weed and getting the munchies. This nigga sold me some shit, had me looking at the refrigerator for 3 hours. I'm just in the kitchen, sitting on the stove. Just... I bet you it ain't shit in there, nigga. I bet you. All I'm saying is you know the weed is too strong when you can't do shit but hit it and look at it. You just in your house. There, nigga. Something in there, nigga. Something in there. Well, why is it sparkling then? Why is it sparkling? Weed'll help your motherfucking ass, though. Weed, you have to be careful that you don't smoke weed with dumb niggas, because weed make you smart. Ain't nothing worse than a smart, dumb nigga. Because a nigga at your house smart than a dumb motherfucker just sitting there. Sitting. Okay, that's the couch, right? I can understand why they call it a couch. But this motherfucker here, nigga, this shit right here, nigga, this is the love seat, nigga. I can't even sit on this if I ain't in love, nigga. What kind of shit is that? If you don't get out my motherfucking house, you have to be careful with weed. Weed make you notice shit you ain't supposed to notice. Like, I don't even give a fuck about politics no more because I done figured it out. All of the government is pimps. They all pimps. Because pimps say shit to you and then don't explain it. That's how our government do. A pimp will have a woman in the car and be like, get out there and suck some dick. We're going to take over all of Stone Mountain. She don't ask no questions. She just, I don't know how it's going to work, but I'm going to do my motherfucking part. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. That's how the fuck our government treat us. Just tell us shit don't make no sense. What the fuck are we still doing in Iraq? Can somebody tell me, ain't we killed everybody? That's why I love America. We some goddamn bullies. We don't give a shit. We be on CNN like, say our name, bitch. Say it. Say it three times. To see if we don't come over there and kill everybody. You don't believe we gangsters? Tell me what the Iraqi uniform look like. Don't worry, I'll wait. Because you ain't never seen that motherfucker. We ain't killing their army, nigga. We killing them. We over there killing niggas in sweatpants, tank tops, flip-flops, and a cowboy hat. You shouldn't have been talking shit. Our government pimp. They get on the news. They act like we ain't even over there killing real people. They don't never get on the news and say, today we killed 4 men, 3 women, and 2 children. They use a word niggas can't readily identify. Today we killed a group of insurgents. Niggas be at the house like, I don't even know no motherfucking insurgent. You can kill all them motherfuckers. I don't have not one insurgent friend.
That is the inevitable Cat Williams coming in at number 6 on the top 10 comedians of the generation. All right, ladies and gentlemen, 45 left is right. We're going to get to the last 5 of today, and we'll retool the new list and come back with more fun stuff for you. Happy holidays to you and yours wherever you're at, and here comes the disclaimer. Warning, listener discretion is advised. Now, if you're in an uncompromising situation where you may not be able to listen to language like this, you have been, again, for the 4th time today, you have been notified. This is uncensored material, everything you're going to hear. All right, number 5, our buddy, George Lopez.
You must be successful. You can get Mexicans to get out of their chair. Chingo. Because we never get up. No, I'm not going to get up. My feet, I can't. I have certain... Look at my veins. They're popping out. I can't. I don't want to stand up because they're going to take my chair. I don't even belong here. What's up? I snuck a bottle in. Wait a minute. Shit we do in our front yard sitting down. You get like an old raggedy ass chair. You water the grass sitting down. And when you want the water to go far, you go like this. We'll never get out of the chair. Rape! Watch out. Oh, wow, look what. We just moved to the corner. Look what's going on. Mira, something's going on over there. Go see what's going on over there. The lady without the top was yelling, I don't know, that she likes grapes or something.
Hey, I just want to thank you guys for coming out. And this special is for all of you people and everybody watching at home and for Richard Pryor. All right, Richard Pryor. Richard Pryor did a special here 25 years ago that I watched every day. And my grandmother would say, quita ese negro cochino. ¿Por qué dice fuck you? No, hombre, ese negro es... No, hombre, con los fuck you, no. And then she would tell you things that you didn't know. When I was young, I went out with a black guy, but he didn't talk like that. He was nice. Pero tenía el winnie. Sometimes at night I can still feel it when I sleep. Me pega como un Charlie horse. Ay! And I walk like that, but it hurts and it feels good at the same time. Like when I was with him, los dos. You know, my grandmother's really the reason why I started to do stand-up. She's 84 now. Ya todas, you know, worn out. Ah, my life. You know, and the one thing about old Mexican people is they never want to admit that they're getting old. Grandma, you should use your cane. No, I'm all right. Look at the way I'm... You can tell. Mira, I don't want nobody looking at me. That's why I cover my bone with my dress. Years old, and she doesn't want to use the oxygen. She has oxygen on me. I mean, I'm all right. I can breathe. You ever seen a fish that jumped out of the bowl and he's laying down? But when you fight, she's there. Tell that bitch. And with my grandmother, everything was no. Grandma, no! You don't even know what it is. Yeah, but I know what it's not. And you couldn't talk back. Now kids talk back. You know, no, I won't! I won't! And the mothers, they don't even hit the kids. Listen, listen to here, Piper. I will not. Are you listening to me? Dakota, I'm talking to your sister. Piper? My grandmother give me a putazo. Stand right here. Stand right here. Stand. Why you crying? Why you crying? I barely touch you. You can't even touch him because right away he starts crying. Why are you crying? My ear is bleeding. Look, it was bleeding before you got here. I didn't want to tell you. Why are you crying? That's all the moms would say. Mira, cabrón. Why are you crying? I barely touch you. Want me to hit you for real? Come over here. Want me to hit you for real? Mira. My grandmother used to hit me, man, for all kinds. I want ice cream. You want ice cream? No. Ice cream makes me dizzy. Because, mira, if you want ice cream, cabrón, I got 31 flavors aquí, cabrón. You want some? One time when I was 6, she backed into me with the car. She was back in a pang out of And what did she say? Get out of the way!
And they will try to bribe you to walk. Hey, you want to go to McDonald's? You want to go to McDonald's? Then walk right. You want to go to McDonald's? Then walk right. Walk right. Walk right. Fucking leg all twinkling. Mira, they don't let kids that walk like that into McDonald's. Walk right. Look at fucking show up. You can't even touch him with a car because right away. What the-
and that is the great George Lopez as we continue on.
And now that I grew up and I made it, she's all in denial. I never hit you, liar. Oh, I can't believe that you tell that people I used to hit you. Mira, I'll get your hair and I'll pull it.
More summer and shit. Go to cook. Don't go to cookouts. I hate cookouts, man. Stay away from cookouts and shit. If you like me, you stay the fuck away from cookouts. I don't like my family come by the house. The relatives I ain't seen like since the last
In a few minutes, the top four, including Eddie Murphy. All this and more right here on Vinnie Moore Presents the Top Comedians of the Generation. Again, this list is subjective, guys, so feel free to email me, Facebook me, whatever you want to do with your list. All right? It is cool, and we will see if the consortium of those of us who vote on this agree with your list. Let's move on. Number four, Eddie Griffin.
What's up, everybody? I ain't got much time. No, I ain't got much time, so I want to get right to it. First off, I want y'all to give a round of applause for No Limit Master P for putting this joint together. Yes, baby. Then I'd like to discuss the crazy white man that blew his motherfucking head off the other day. Now, I really appreciate somebody going through with it. Because you know how many times they show you them car chases, motherfucker going down to 405, then they get right to the part where the motherfucker supposed to do it and they don't do shit. You done wasted an hour worth of my time watching this motherfucker. I wanted to see some brains fly out of nigga head. Finally, one of them had the balls to do it yesterday. And the news camera couldn't shut the shit off quick enough. You could see what the motherfucker was thinking. His brains hit the ground. I said, look at him. He was thinking about killing himself. You dead dumb motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? But only white people do silly shit like that. You know, they have problems and shit, and they flip the fuck out. You know, the rent is due, and they can't pay. Suicide attempt. Niggas don't do no shit like that. Rent due, we can't pay. Nigga, door locked before the bill collector show up. When they come, we play like we ain't home. Come on, we know you niggas are in there. Come on. We need a rent money. Come on out, nigga. Now, you be sitting right there watching TV. Knock a knock if you want to, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? But we shifting these bills around. I need to pay the light bill and the gas bill to make sure the lights and the gas is working in this motherfucker so I can eat and see when I'm in this sub-bitch. Rent, you next check. You know what I'm saying? Then they had George Michael jacking the fuck off somewhere. Now, I want to know what was his major problem. Now, we know the motherfucker gay. We know he smoke a few dicks, hot dog jockey, that kind of motherfucker. And he in the park just to jacking the fuck off. Now, you know he advertising. Now, what if I'm in the park with my kids? And my kids is going to the bathroom, and there's wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, and they're jacking the fuck off. You know what I'm saying? That's a motherfucker that need his ass whooped. You freak motherfucker. Whoop his ass. And you see how they downplayed his shit? It's like, well, he was just jacking off. That's that. Well, let a nigga do any motherfucking thing. Nigga, they got us in the courtroom. You know what I'm saying? They said Michael Jackson slept with the kids. Nobody had a picture of him fucking the little motherfucker. I ain't buying the shit. They can't put it off on the little motherfucker. Because that motherfucker fucked Elvis's daughter. That upset them. How can you fuck our king's daughter, you cocksucker? See, Michael Jackson's a slick motherfucker. That's the spook that sat behind the dope. That motherfucker spray painted himself white and was like, yeah, come on, got your white bitch. And he's so nice, you know what I'm saying? They couldn't get mad at him or peep that he was a thug gangster motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Mike got game, nigga. He'd be like, no, you know, I just really want to help the children and love the world and free everybody and stuff, you know. But when the motherfucker performed, that should let you know he's a thug motherfucker. Because in an interview, he's like, and I love everybody and I want you all to come by. And, you know, we're going to do this song for the children. Then as soon as that motherfucker grab a mic and get on stage, and Mike's starting to get the James Brown disease. You can't understand what the fuck he say no more. You know, I think the older they get, they ain't making no sense. And motherfuckers out there, hey, what the fuck is he saying? It don't matter. And ladies, I want to thank you all for coming down, you beautiful chocolate Nubian queens. I just want to ask y'all one favor, though. Could y'all give brothers a break for a minute? Because y'all be on a nigga ass. You know what I'm saying? We got the biggest dick on the planet and get the most drama when we come home. You know what I'm saying? The white man come home, what his wife tell him? How you doing, dear? How was your day, dear? Dinner's ready, dear. The Mexican come home. Ay, papi, my niño. Bring your design. Even the shortest dick on the planet, an Asian motherfucker come home. Nigga, his wife, oh, let me rub her feet and make a bath of water. And yeah, make a good eye. Yeah, rata. The biggest dick on planet Earth come home, what we get? Nigga, where you been? How come you always out with your friends? I don't want to tell that motherfucker on. Sisters, y'all getting the best dick. Please, relax. You know what I'm saying? Because a brother, we got the roughest motherfucking road to any of them. Nigga, we hunted. When they talking about endangered species, nigga, they talking about the black male. That's why 90% of the motherfuckers in the penitentiary are what color? Huh? I can't hear you. They better raise up over, nigga. You know what I'm saying? We out there fucking around in a white man's world. And that motherfucker telling us, well, nigga, get out of here. We don't have any jobs. That's just the way it is. Move on, move on. And then
and
you come
the
home, that's the one place a nigga supposed to have.
Eddie people. Griffin on Vinnie Moore presents the top 10 comedians of his generation. Moving on, half an hour left in this ride, half an hour left in this thing. And the reality is we've got three to share with you today. We'll give you the names. I think we slipped up on one. But the next three have been tagged as the best timing of comedic talents the world may have ever seen. So let's get into it. Number three today, Dave Chappelle.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from San Francisco, please welcome Dave Chappelle.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you. What's up, San Francisco? I like your city. It's beautiful. Tolerant place. I didn't see much. I haven't seen my friend call me. He was like, hey, having fun in Frisco? Hell yeah. Seen the sights? No. You want to go see Alcatraz?
What kind of nigga in his right mind wants to visit a prison for recreation?
I got friends in jail I don't visit. I don't deal with jails. Don't deal with jails, and I don't deal with police. My house got robbed in New York. I didn't even call the police. I wanted to, but I couldn't.
my crib is too nice. It's not that it's too nice, but it's too nice for me. You know how the police are in New York. As soon as I open the door, they'll be like, oh, he's still here. Open and shut case, Johnson. Apparently, this black guy broke in and hung up pictures of his family everywhere. Never seen anything like it. Don't deal with them, man. I had to bail a friend of mine out of jail one time. You know, that was horrible. I was scared. I had to walk right into the belly of the beast. I tried to look as non-threatening as possible. Hi. I'm here to bail out my buddy.
Oh, okay. Well, while you're here, you do fit a description.
If you walk this way, we can process you. That's how to always get us. It's fitting those damn descriptions. Now, I could be bitter and blame all the police, but no. I'll tell you who I blame. It's those fucking sketch artists. They keep drawing the same brother over and over again. Who is this generic man we all look like? I want to know what they say when it's us. You know what I mean? They'd be in that room like, did you get a look? Did you see the guy that tried to rob you? Yes. Yes, I did. He's about 6 feet tall, I'd say. 6 feet tall? Yes. He had his hat on backwards, too. Good. That's good stuff.
Was on backwards?
Yes. He was black? Okay, big lips, big nose, dick hanging out. Say no more, sir.
I'll draw him from memory. And now let me get my stencil. I think we can trace this guy and save some time. They get on the radio and say, calling all cars, calling all cars. Be on the lookout for a black male between 4'7 and 6'8. Between 120 and 380 pounds. He's wearing Nikes. Get this man! Criminals are insane. I don't even know why people do crime. They want to catch you, they're going to catch you. They can. They got forensics. You ever seen forensics? Those guys find clues nobody else thinks about looking for. I mean it. You leave a pubic hair anywhere near a crime scene, they're going to find that shit. What the hell is this? Back up! We got a match. When they look at the pubic and tell all kinds of information. Looks like there was a struggle. Time of death, 3:07. It's amazing. I saw him get a dude one time on court TV. It was embarrassing. It was a sexual assault case. I knew the defendant was lying. I could feel it. He defended himself too hard. He did. His answers had nothing to do with the questions. They're completely irrelevant. They ask him easy questions. Were you anywhere near the crime scene on the night of the incident? Motherfucker, I told you I work at Burger King. That went on for hours. Then the prosecutor got fed up. Said, I've had enough of this. Called the forensics to the stand. Forensics was like, Your Honor, we are prepared to testify that we found the defendant's semen under the stove. I said, God damn. That's worse than fingerprints. Now, they find your semen, you've been there at least a minute. But that's what I want to know. Under the stove, you find semen like that? Or do you look for it? Like, do they walk onto a crime scene like, this place is a mess?
Check it for semen.
Or do they just like walk in and slip? Oh my God! What the hell was that? Steven! They're firing on every crowd, see? It's like, what are burglars doing? We got the stuff. Let's get out of here. Wait a minute. I want to leave my calling card. The Steven Bandit has struck again.
And that is the inevitable Dave Chappelle coming in at number three. Good stuff. Good stuff. Look, guys, thankfully this will be it's being saved, archived, whatever you want to call it. You'll be able to re-listen to this, download it. If you're looking for more laughs, certainly you can find a bunch of the videos on YouTube, as well as each individual entertainer has their own website. So without a doubt, by sure, check these guys out, all of them. And there's so many guys that we haven't even gotten to yet that we'll get to over time. Guys like Damon Wayans, who easily will be on someone's top 10 list. Throwbacks like Jackie Mason. You know, guy, upcoming guys. Still, they're upcoming, but you know, for some of us who love stand-up comedy, guys like D-Ray Davis are hilarious. I'm going to try to truncate some of this time because I really want to get, if we have enough time, some of the Tommy Davidson stuff that's been done, which is absolutely hilarious. Anyway, let's move on so we don't forego on this. The number two this time around, The Inevitable. Once phenomenal, now really, really still good, but doesn't do stand anymore, Eddie Murphy.
More summer shit. Go to cook. Don't go to cookouts. I hate cookouts, man. Stay away from cookouts and shit. If you like me, you stay the fuck away from cookouts. I don't like my family come by the house. The relatives I ain't seen like since the last cookout. You got certain relatives you just see at the cookout. And they get on your fucking nerves every year. My Uncle Gus come by the house every year. My Uncle Gus is the uncle that likes to work the grill and don't let nobody touch the grill when he's around and shit. As soon as he walk in the house, it's like, get away from that grill. You don't know how to start no fire. You know how to start no fire. Put this fire out. There ain't no fire, goddamn it. Eddie, go over there and give me all that wood. I need half a tree. Chop that tree down over there. Chop down that tree and give me the wood from that tree over there. And Charlie, go give me 2 gallons of gasoline out of the shed. 2 gallons of gasoline, you kids roll up your shirt, put that on the grill. We're going to start a fire. Come on, you want to eat? You want to eat? Just shut up there. Put that on the fire. Okay, put that wood inside there. Okay, give me the gasoline, Charlie. Hold the match. Well, I tell you, Charlie, throw the match on the gasoline, all right? Well, I tell you, all right? We're going to make a fire. We're going to eat it, right? Y'all want to eat? We're going to eat now. Here we go. Pour the gasoline on here like this. We need the whole... Get that goddamn lighter fluid out of there. That can't use it. You put all 2 gallons of gasoline on this wood and make a fire. We're going to eat a hamburger, okay? Here we go. Charlie, throw the match. Now, that's a fire. That's a fire. Look at that. Look at that. He be all right. Roll Charlie around. Roll him around in here. Go around. My Uncle Gus is married to my Aunt Bunny. My Aunt Bunny got a mustache and shit. You know, one of them lady mustaches? It was real cool back when she was 20. She had, you know, ladies had them little thin ones and shit. Then when they get about 45, like Aunt Bunny, they be having the Billy Dee Williams look. Shit be thicker than the man's and shit. Aunt Bunny weighed like 300 pounds, like 250, real heavy lady and shit. And the kids were scared of her. You got that kid logic going. I remember my Aunt Bunny come by the house and shit. It was like, I was petrified because she always wanted to kiss me or touch me and some shit. As soon as she walked in the door, it's like, come give your Aunt Bunny a kiss, baby. And you go, and your mother said, why don't you want to kiss your Aunt Bunny? Kids don't give a fuck. They go, she got a mustache. Why do kids move so slow when they be crying? Stop making all that noise. I said shut up. You'd be mad because your mother hits you. You'd be standing there wishing hateful shit on your mother. Every dude that'd be in the bedroom going, God, please kill her. I hope she gets hit by a truck and die. Shut up, I'm coming to give something to cry about. Then my pops would start talking. And my pops would be fucked up every 4th of July, man, every cookout. Black men like to claim the house when they're drunk. Men, period, I think, man, like to just claim their house. They want you to know if you're drunk and if they're drunk and you're in their house, that it's their house. My father would stand up in the middle of the cookout and say, "It's my house." You know what it is? And if you don't like it, you get the fuck out.
I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I pay the motherfucking bills in this motherfucker.
And hey, kiss my ass if you don't like it.
Yes. Yes, motherfucker, yes. But you know what it is? You know what it is? I'm drunk, so what?
Beautiful, I'm drunk. I'm drunk, so what? I'm drunk. You know what? I got drunk in my motherfucking kitchen. I was drinking out of my glass in my motherfucking house. So fuck it.
And that is Eddie Murphy coming in at number two. All right. We've come now in this line of 2 hours, basically almost 2 hours, 1 hour and 45 minutes at this point. And we've shared a bunch of stuff with you. We're probably not going to have enough time to share you some of what we call the honorable mention, because some of that's really, really good stuff. I'll just throw some names out at you. Okay, certainly Tosh.0, Russell Peters, and all these guys will be in future segments we do like this because it's just fun. If you've got some comedians that you'd like to see maybe represented or at least given some consideration for a top 10, by all means, hit us on Facebook, hit me on govincentimaging.com, send me an email at vincent@govincentimaging.com, or simply give us a call before today's show ends at 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. Now, if we can get our technology to kind of behave itself, and as we've discovered even from earlier today, sometimes it can be a little bit challenging to get your technology to behave itself. Nonetheless, we come now to the number one. The number one comedian of my generation, and this is one of those things where it's not that made for at least the comic community, that's not even up for question. Born and raised in Peoria, Illinois, and there's only been one, there will only be one. He died some years ago, but nonetheless, number one today, the one and the only Richard Pryor.
First person I met when I got up here was Stoney on the barbershop, used to give bootleg haircuts. That's right, 25 cents for haircuts, see? And he give you what they call the bowl cut. Then they put a bowl on your head and they cut around it. Made all the niggas look Chinese. Because that's the only way you could get a job on the railroad, see? That's right, they wasn't hiring no niggas, see? Niggas want real money. Chinese work for that Yang money, see? Nigga didn't want that shit, see? So that's the best you could do, though, so then we did it. So, Chinese are funny people, boy. You know what they can do? Eat with sticks. Swear to God, I seen the Chinese man have two sticks like this and a bowl of food, didn't drop a goddamn speck. Nigga lose 3 pounds of food with a knife and fork. So, I had this friend, my partner's name was Tootlum, see? Old big nigga, big robot nigga, see? Worked over at the foundry lifting motors, see? That's right, made about 38 cents an hour. That was big money in them days, see? So, he could lie his ass off, too. All that nigga could tell lies. So that's how we became friends, see? He tell a lie, I tell a lie, see? And we compliment each other's lies, see? He'd make me laugh all day long, bless his soul. He told me this lie one time. He told me about the niggas with the big dicks. Said, yeah, you ever heard? Niggas had the biggest dicks in the war, and they were trying to find a place where they could have their contest, see? And they wasn't no freaks, didn't want everybody looking. So they walking around looking for a secret place. So they walked across the Golden Gate Bridge, and niggas sink that water and made them want to piss, see? One said, man, I got to take a leak. He pulled his thing out of his pistol. Other nigga pulled his out, took a piss. One nigga said, God damn, it's water cold. Other nigga said, yeah, and it's deep too. Boy, I could lie his ass off. Yeah, and the deep too. God damn it, so the nigga got sick, see? I told him he was messing with this girl from Louisiana. And I said, boy, you better leave that help alone, see? Because I know she knows something, see? What she did was she put a hex on his ass. That's right, and made that nigga sick. Boy's feet swole up like this. Hands shriveled up. Blood was coming out of his eyes. When I seen the nigga scared the shit out of me. I said, Tula, not you. I said, God damn, nigga, you sick. He said, any fool can see that. He said, tell me what kind of sickness I got. I said, well, what the symptom? What? Say, symptom my ass, you looking at the symptom. Say, my goddamn feet are swollen up, look like elephant foot. Say, my arms is weak, blood coming out my eye. Plus, I'm in love with a bitch I can't stand. Well, shit, right away, I know what's wrong, see? I said, boy, that girl done put a mojo on your ass. Said, I'll take you over to Jefferson, where the voodoo lady live, have a fix it for you. See, because the voodoo lady named Miss Rudolph lived over there. She could do it. That was her name, Miss Rudolph, see? They named her after that deer. And she was good, too, man. She had this monkey's foot around her neck and a three-legged monkey.
Yeah.
And that monkey didn't give her no trouble. That monkey fucked with everybody but her, see? And this monkey's foot stunk all to be down. And she says, smelt that way to keep the spirits and most peoples away. Well, it worked on me because it's been 8 years since I seen the bitch, see? So, come this, we went over there. I had a 33 packet. Stop, got a little gas. I drove the nigga over there. Made him pay for it. We get over there. I'm the one got to knock on the door, see? So I go up to the door and knock on the door. She opened the door, man. The funk rushed out the house, knocked me to my goddamn knees. And I'm looking up at her. She ain't got on no brazier. And the biggest titties in the world, they were swollen up, looked like that nigga's feet. And she had a tattoo on each titty. Had a big eye on one titty and a pair of lips on the other. And I'm praying to God I ain't got to kiss nothing, see? So I was looking at this titty looking at me and looked like it winked at me. She said, boy, get your ass in here. Get off the floor. So I walked into the house. I'm kind of nervous because bugs and shit crawling around all on the floor. There's a goddamn bat flying around like this, see? Now this monkey comes in and so fucking with me. Jumped all over my neck and shit. And it felt funny because he got them little monkey hands. Be fucking with your ears, you know? And I'm trying to act like I'm petting this motherfucker, but I'm poking him in the eye. Get him off me, see? Because I don't want to offend this bitch with this monkey foot, see? Because she scratched your ass with that foot, that's all over. And I said, Miss Rudolph, please, can you do something about the monkey? She said, I don't have to do shit about the monkey. The monkey lives here, nigga. You visited. Well, shit, I had to accept that, see? So I explained to her what was happening. I said, my partner's sick. Please, he needs some help. Would you be so kind as to help him? Said, his feet are swollen up. Eyes and shit, he all messed up. I said, now, first of all, I got to explain to you, I don't have no money. I said, I'm posing as a Chinaman working on the railroad. And all I got is that Yang money. She said, no, I don't want none of that. She said, what you do, though, come Thanksgiving, bring me by a goose or a turkey. That's all right. You know, I said, well, shit, that's fine with me, because it was June then. If I don't ever see this bitch no more in life, it's all right with me, see? And just about that time, a big motherfucking tarantula, this big, crawled up my arm, round my neck, I almost shit on myself, man. Went down this arm, under my hand, I tried to mash him. When I lift my hand up, he was gone. That's when I put my hand on my knife. Because I figured if somebody get hurt in here, I ain't going to be the last one, see? I said, Miss Rudolph, please tell me what happened to the tarantula. She said, that ain't none of your goddamn business. But if you don't bring me that turkey, you will see him again. So, when I left the house, I'm thinking turkey. There's a big, pretty bird in my goddamn mind, see? I don't give a shit if she's in Timbuktu, the bitch got a turkey coming for me. So I get out to the car, now Tootle, he don't want to get out the car. I said, nigga, you better get your ass up out of this car. Much shit I done been through in there. I kick you on one of them big foot. I just said that to him. I wouldn't really kick him, see, but nigga made me mad, see it. So I helped him out the car. We walk up to the house. This nigga Palmer house is like, motherfucking feast is hurting him, see. I'm trying not to laugh at him because he's my father. So I help him in the house. He get in the house and see all them bugs and shit crawling around. He try to lift his feet up, but he's scared. Because them feet hurting, them bugs is fucking with him. All he can do is go, woof, woof. I said, nigga, sit your ass down. Fuck them bugs. Just pretend like it's furniture. So the nigga, he eased down on the couch. He had to ease down because he got the pile, see? He eased down. Yeah, this bitch done fuck with him, see? Tore his ass up. He eased now, stretched his feet out. Just about that time, she come from out the back room, had a big wash pan. And she said a few words over it, you know. And then she squatted and pissed. That's right, she pissed for 15 minutes. Old strong ammonia piss, too. Then she slid the pot over by the boy's feet. Said, Junior, put your feet in that. Well, I'm sure enough trying not to laugh now. If this nigga put his feet in his piss, it's all over for me. I said, go ahead, boy. See, because I'm going to talk about his ass 44 years he put his feet in his piss. Well, I guess the nigga said nothing from nothing leave nothing. So he put his foot in there, put the other one almost didn't fit in there. I said, oh, God, this bitch going to piss some more. So I pushed the foot down, got covered up. Water come next to bubbling and boiling, sparks start flying, goddamn bugs was running all crazy, bat was flying around, monkeys start shitting everywhere. That's when I took my knife out there. And she ran over and stroked this nigga with the monkey's foot, and he was trembling like that. I tried to get the door open, it was locked. I started stabbing this motherfucker like this. Then, all of a sudden, it got real quiet. And the piss turned blue. And I said, holy Jesus, holy Jesus. Because I ain't never seen no blue piss. Well, the boy eased his feet out the piss, and they was healthy. The nigga had healthy feet. But it was real tiny. The nigga had little baby feet. I said, Junior, look at your feet. He looked down, seen his feet. The nigga went berserk, killed the monkey, threw the bat out the window, started kicking that bitch in the ass, and them little feet were going like this. Nigga wore out three pair of kneecaps, kicking her in the ass. And he snatched the monkey foot off her neck, swallowed that. Well, he shouldn't have done that. Because they came and got his ass and took him to the zoo. And you can see him if you go down there. He's the polar bear. With little tiny feet.
Okay, guys, not sure what happened there, but nonetheless, number one, Richard Pryor. Anyway, About 3 minutes left in today's episodes, if you will. Having fun with you guys. I want to thank you so much for joining me and my first objective list of the top 10 comedians of my generation. There's so many more talents out there that, you know, just basically, well, the bottom line is we just haven't, we could probably expand this to the top 50 and we could probably fill it out. It'd be a 5-hour festival of nothing but laughter on a Friday for you. But happy holidays to you and yours out there who can hear me. Thank you so much for being a part of not only this, but the Men Stopping Violence work that we do here, as well as the fastest 60 minutes in sports. Speaking of which, week 16 is on the docket for you sports fans, right around the corner. For those of you who are Bear fans, big week this week as you go to Philadelphia. Nonetheless, we'll be back probably give it a week or so. I want your feedback, though. I want your feedback on who your favorites were. Maybe we put together a new subjective list. I know there are many of you out there that are looking for – you know, Damon Wayans and some of the other great comedians that are part of this generation as well. And by all means, they certainly deserve their time and their airplay. And we're going to give it to them, the Arnaz Jays of the world, George Wilbons of the world. I think Arnaz Jay may be one of the more talented, unsung talents in comedy. He's never had his own show. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not discounting the D.L. Hughleys, the Cedric the Entertainers. They're all great. Steve Harvey could easily be on a list and should be on a list. And perhaps they'll be on the next one when we get around to it. Again, the Russell Peters, Bill Burr, these are great guys. And if you have satellite radio, you can check out the Foxhole. Hear these guys all day long. Honorable mention goes to guys like George Wallace, who's been around a long time. I think George Wallace may own Las Vegas or part of it right now. Just a tremendous talent. Anyway, happy holidays to all of you and yours. Don't spend all your money this weekend. For your sports fans, enjoy Week 16 of the National Football League. We'll be back to talk about that on Sunday. If the Lord willing and the creek don't rise, we'll be back to do what we need to do to put a smile on your face. Have yourselves a fantastic afternoon. And remember, from all of us here in the studios, we love you and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. So enjoy your day. Find a smile. Get some libation today. Enjoy it. Do it smart. But enjoy your day and get ready for what we hope is a great weekend for you and yours. Merry Christmas, everybody. We'll see you later on this week. I'm Vinnie Moore. Have a great afternoon.